Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on fatherhood and masculinity topics. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is the Reverend William Cruz, AM, a Christian minister of the Uniting Church and minister of the Ashfield Parish in Sydney's Inner West. Bill, as he's known to many people, has received numerous honours for the work he has done, including being one of the National Trust's 100 National Living Treasures. He has been awarded the highest honour from the Australian Lions Foundation for Humanitarian Services, and he was named by the prestigious Bulletin and Newsweek magazine as one of Australia's 100 most influential people. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill, and hello to everybody.
So, Bill, you are known for the Exodus Foundation and for your radio program on 2GB, but it's not so well known that you are an electrical engineer.
I was, yeah. I was studying the properties of single crystal silicon and built some machines to grow ultra pure silicon in the 60s and 70s, yeah.
And that led to things everyone's familiar with, integrated circuits. So
that's right. We built the first touch telephones and heart pacemakers and all of that sort of stuff, you know, stuff that's now just part of everyday life.
And do you find that engineering background has influenced you at all in the work you're doing now?
Oh, yeah, it taught me the need for order.
Mm.
You know, and in lots of ways, I called Exodus because I thought we'd bring order out of the chaos. Yeah. But actually, we've been marching in it for 40 years, if you get what I mean.
Well, yes, I mean, you quit engineering in 1971 and then you started working in Ashfield from 1989. Do you sometimes feel a bit burnt out after the 25 years of being in Ashfield?
No, actually it's the other way. About a year ago I took a good look at myself and I thought, oh my God, you know, if I want to keep doing what I'm doing, I've got to get as healthy as I can and as fit as I can. And so I got my weight right. I went and saw a physiotherapist to get, you know, exercises so I'd be fit for the rest of my life and got myself all sorted out so I could keep going. Otherwise, you know, what am I going to be doing sitting on a chair for the rest of my life or, you know, looking at a wall or playing darts or something? I don't want to do that. I want to do what I'm doing.
Yes, I can't imagine that. But anyway, I think you've recently hit 70, so we can expect quite a bit more from you in the years to come.
Yeah, yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. I thought even if I retired, I'd be doing what I was doing, so I might as well keep doing it.
Well, you've worked in a very challenging area, this area of homelessness, and the ABS has a definition of what constitutes homelessness. Do you have your own belief on what it is?
Well, in lots of ways, my idea is people who slip through the cracks, people who basically don't exist. We regularly come across people, say, whose births have never been registered. And people look at me and say, how can that happen in Australia? I say, well, it does. We come across people who can't read. How can that happen? Well, it does. We come across people who have no address. How come? You know, all of that sort of stuff. And homelessness typifies, in a way, all of that. Because if you're homeless, you really don't exist because you don't have an address. Nobody can send you letters. Nobody can do anything, you know. And that's the ultimate of slipping through the cracks.
Yes, and who do you find are the homeless people? Like, do you find a preponderance, for instance, of young males?
Well, up until a few years ago, yes. But that was because females could always find or negotiate somewhere. Nowadays, many, 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 many more women. Many more. Mm. Many more. Because society is becoming much more, as you know, males and females become more co-equal, then the problems start generating across the divide between the sexes. So many, many more homeless women today. In our free restaurant, it was mainly, years ago, men. Now, a good third to more than that are women. And we spend a lot of time keeping our places kind so the women will come, because if they get a bit too blokey, then the women won't come.
Yeah, so you've noticed that change, and have you noticed...
huge change.
And have you noticed a difference in the age of the homeless people as well?
When I started, they were mainly in their 60s. Now you can get them all the way down. You can get a single mum and a baby, kids 11 and 12, kids in their 20s, you know, all the way through. Still predominantly older people, but not that much older.
Yes, and why do you think they have become homeless? What are the main causes?
A lot of it's due to family breakdown today. Mm. A lot of it. A lot. In the past, all of that was masked, you know, and so that, you know, nowadays you have kids, they might live with mum one day and dad another day, and who knows where they are the third day, and then they're back with mum or whatever. So that kids, there's a blurring. The idea of family has become blurred, and there's more members in it than there used to be.
Mm, so they might tend to get lost in the voyage between mother and father.
Yes, and between step-parents and within step-parents and all of that sort of stuff, yeah. We regularly find kids, you know, who will have plenty of step-kids from their father's previous relationships and their mother's previous relationships and ongoing relationships, so that when you try to work out the family of origin of that child in front of you, it's quite difficult.
Mm. And... is this something, I mean, does it belong to a particular group, or do you think anyone could be homeless?
Right across the board. Mm. Right across the board. And today, with the way the economy is, there are many, many, many people who are just one pay packet away from catastrophe.
Mm.
Like, we'll get people coming in here saying, I can make a donation today. My contract's up next week. I don't know if I'm going to keep on the job that I've got. So I might be eating in your restaurant in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes. So it's a really big problem. It's not you can't really focus on one aspect of it. It's sort of affects the whole community, doesn't it?
Yeah. We're definitely economically heading back to the age of Dickens. Definitely. And the reason for that is that money makes money today faster than work does, so that people who have got money will get richer than people who are trying to work for money. And it's just a losing battle, so that the rich are getting richer and the poor are struggling and the middle classes are vanishing.
Yes, that seems to come out in a lot of studies, doesn't it, that the gap is getting larger. And
yes.
What used to be a very egalitarian society in Australia is perhaps not what it used to be.
Oh, it's not at all. Not at all. And so many people now are so anxious, they want to hold on to what they've got. So in a way, they're a bit meaner than they used to be, because they're frightened of what will happen in the future.
Yes, well, you've been extraordinarily successful in the past. I mean, I think you've raised something like $71 million over the period, which is just amazing, isn't it? that sort of number. But you know, I suppose we should be thinking in terms of hundreds of millions to actually make a bigger difference.
Yes, yes, and at the very time now, you see, it's getting harder and more difficult, and governments are cutting back, and so that those people who desperately need money or desperately need support can't get it.
Yes. We might take a short break now.
Okay.
We're going to listen to a song by Foreigner called I Want to Know What Love Is.
Think things over. I need it when I'm older. Now this mountain I must climb feels like the world upon my shoulder. Through the clouds I see love. Keeps me warm as life grows colder. In my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. Can't stop now, I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I wanna know what love is. I want you to show me. I wanna feel what love is. I know you can show me. Oh. I'm gonna take a little time. Like love has finally found me. In my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. I can't stop now. I've traveled so far to change this lonely life.
And welcome back to Dad's on the Air, where our guest today is Bill Cruz, an Australian Christian minister of the Uniting Church and the minister of the Ashfield Parish in Sydney's Inner West. So, Bill, we were just talking about the type of people that can become homeless. Some of them are real characters, though, aren't they? Do you enjoy meeting some of these people that come into your church?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Many people who I see have got nothing to lose by simply being themselves. And so there's a transparency there that's so liberating, you know.
Yes.
They're not like people who go to church who try and hide who they are. They actually show it. And you can actually really be uplifted by the people themselves, you know, and I find that a lot. I get on very well and we just sit around and chat, and it's really quite liberating for me.
Yes, I'm sure you've got a million stories about some of these people. Maybe you should think about writing a book further down the track.
Oh, I can't. I'd give away too many skeletons. I know too many skeletons, Bill.
Yes, because in the little I've had to do with homeless people, there often seems to be a familiar story, like, you know, they're expecting some money next week, or someone's going to come good and give them a car, or there always seems to be some silver lining.
Well, hope springs eternal.
Mm.
If you don't have hope, things you just give up. And for some people, there's always something hopefully going to happen. For a lot of people, it does, and for others, it just doesn't. Like, I found a lady a while ago, homeless woman in a car, living in a car park, in a building, who was dialysis and all of, on dialysis, sleeping in a car in a car park. You know, there's all of those sorts of things.
Yes.
A lot of people are really struggling today.
And what about the Indigenous component? Do you have many Indigenous people coming to Ashmore?
Yeah, I've had a lot to do with that. We also run programs in Darwin and other places, and it's just difficult. You know, in the past, I think in the early days, the missionaries thought they could solve it all, and they failed. And then the Aboriginal people thought they could do it all themselves, and they failed. And nowadays, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people are realising we've got to work together to tackle some of these problems, and we're still failing. But for some, there are seeds of hope, you know. There are kids getting through and getting up to high school and that. So there's some hope and, mm-hmm. and going to university. A lot of kids, a lot of Aboriginal kids are going to university. So it'll be a hundreds of years program, you know. It'll take a long, long time.
Yes, well, it took a long time for us to even get started on recognising the special problems of Indigenous people, I think,
Oh, a lot of people, they have no idea. They say, oh, you know, why don't they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps? Mm. Well, you know, when you've had your back broken so many times, it's very hard to pull yourself up again.
Mm. Now, I wanted to ask you about one of your particular benefactors, John Singleton.
Yeah.
Now, he's been a mate of yours for a long time. And
a long, long time.
I think he has a special role on Christmas Day.
He helps us here with the meals. John, I've known John since about 1970, I think, and he's always been there in the background, you know, and it was his idea to call our free restaurant Loaves and Fishes.
Mm.
And we actually started the restaurant because he'd won all this money on the horses and he gave it to me. That's how we started one of our big programs.
So you didn't object to the provenance of the money, I take it?
Me? No. No. Gosh, no. If somebody came up to me and said, how dare you take money from a horse race? I'll say, well, you give me the money. Then I won't take it. But they always go away.
Yes, well, I wonder if you could tell us a bit more about the Christmas Day function. I was actually a volunteer this year for the first time, and it was a fascinating experience. But
We started here in Ashfield when I first came. I came here in 1986, and I had 10 old ladies in the church who used to wear hats to church and call each other Miss. And I said, we've got to do something for people on Christmas Day. And they said, but everybody's got their homes to go to. I said, no, they haven't. So anyway, one of them gave me a plate of sandwiches and two people turned up. And then the next year, 13 people turned up. And I thought, oh, we're on a roll here. The next year we got 11 and we thought, oh, it's doomed. And the next year we had 400 and then it just took off. This year we, in Ashfield, provided 2,700 meals. Mm. And at our food van, another 400. So we did about 3,100 hot Christmas lunches for needy people. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing, you know. It gives people a chance to reach out of themselves on a special day.
Yes, and you don't restrict entry. I mean, anyone that wants turns up at the church is
anyone
is free.
To turn up. Yep. Because you've got to kiss a lot of frogs to get a prince, I reckon. And if we put security people on the doors and say, you can't come in because you look well off or you look this or you look that, then the very timid street people won't come because they'll be afraid.
Mm.
So we have to open it up to everyone.
And another thing I felt was that I had the feeling that some of the volunteers enjoyed it and needed it as much as the people actually getting meals.
Always. A lot of the volunteers, their partners have died during the year, or they just can't face Christmas Day.
Mm.
We'll often find one of the volunteers crying because the children are with the ex somewhere else, you know, and this is their way of celebrating Christmas.
Yes, so after all these years, Bill, we're speaking with Bill Cruz, the Australian Christian Minister of the Uniting Church and Minister of Ashfield Parish in Sydney's Inner West. What have you learnt and what do you think we should be doing about this this major homeless problem?
I've learned it's all been said thousands and thousands and thousands of times over a long time. And we as human beings are quite prepared to, en masse, accept the fact that there are some people who we just let go. like we, with the schools we run, you know, we get kids who are basically little buggers, you know? Mm. And we work with them and they go on to get doctorates and you name it, you know? And they've been written off in society. We're so quick to write people off. And when we write people off, we deny society kind of benefiting from their potential and from these people realising their own potential themselves. I find that incredibly sad, and it comes from how judgmental often we are as people of one another.
So that's what we really need to address, that we all get on with each other and forget the judgments.
And not be so judgmental.
Yes, this might, I don't know, some of the people in the church perhaps might have a different view from some of the messages that you're pushing there.
Oh, well, my relationship with the church is rocky at times, mate.
Well, this has been a large personal cost to you. I know, you know, you've had your own marriage situation as you've had problems there.
It's difficult. It's difficult because I got into this because I had a experience, a religious experience that moved me to stop what I was doing and go and work with the poorest of the poor. And you suddenly think, how can people not do this? Mm. How can they not? This is what we're meant to do, you know? And you get surprised when you find that other people don't think that way, you know?
Mm. Yes, I'm sure you have surprises every day.
So I get a bit difficult to live with at times.
Well, you don't sound like it to me. But we get to the stage, Bill Cruz, where we ask our guests to pick a song. Perhaps you might tell us which one you've picked and why you'd like us to play it.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson. I think she's probably the greatest of all the American Idol winners. And she recorded this song, Breakaway, which is about, are you brave enough to be yourself? Are you brave enough to stand up and not hide behind any titles or robes or anything? Are you brave enough to be yourself and just break away and be yourself?
Could be
And that's just about it for Dads on the Air this week. We'd like to give a special thank you to our special guest, the Reverend William Cruz from the Ashfield Parish in Sydney's Inner West. Bill, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, and thank you to all the listeners. God bless you.
If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our shows, you can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch. Until next week, that's it for Dads on the Air.